Thank you, ladies. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to say two things tonight. While you find that text, Deuteronomy 4, I am thankful that the Lord has blessed us with not only willing participants, but what's the right word I'm looking for here right now? Skipped my mind. Able participants. Naomi's been out, their family's been on vacation over the spring break and everything. And we had different ladies up here playing. I think Kara and Tony were not up here Sunday, I don't think. And Melanie's been filling in, taking Naomi's place. It's just nice to have people that will jump in and who can do it and do it ably. That was a nice offertory, ladies. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I want to say to you tonight, as Brother Andrew mentioned, thank you for coming out. It was a beautiful day in the neighborhood today. But you know what? It kind of fits March and April, doesn't it, a little bit. But I mean it. I appreciate you being here. You don't have to come. But I think you did right by coming. If you're able to come, be here. We have several folks that have that fever and that whatever you get this time of the year. So I'm thankful for the ones that were able to come, who've come. And if you're watching online, you're sick, something, hope you get well soon. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I announced on Sunday, I want to speak tonight on the subject prayer and Israel. Father, would you please help me tonight? I know, Lord, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I'm pitching to the crowd. I think I know the makeup of the folk that are here this evening pretty much. Maybe not entirely, but pretty much. So I'm glad to have this opportunity, Lord, to look in your word and to talk about your beloved nation. And I pray that you'll help us, and especially in these days, to keep this in mind and help us tonight from your word. In Christ's name and amen. Now, we've been talking about the church in prayer, power in prayer. Prayer should be a priority, the potential in prayer. But I want to talk tonight about another area that should be touched by our prayer. And I'm not sure that it doesn't necessarily have to be one of these daily things, but several times a week, I think we should touch on this. And that concerns prayer for the nation of Israel. And I want to just say a couple of things before we look at the text tonight, that I am concerned about our nation's relationship with Israel, and as long as this guy's in office especially, and the direction of that relationship over the next few months, because he is the president until at least January, whatever, of next year. It don't look good, folks. The pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel protests, they have increased in number as far as the protests go. Now, I don't know what the crowd size looks like. I'm not sure about the number of protesters, okay? Is it big? Is it small? I don't know. They're probably paid. They're probably paid. This is all agenda. But what really was disturbing was the Biden administration's abstaining from a vote that was taken at the UN Security Council meeting on March 25th, just a few days ago. I'm talking about the United Nations Security Council. That vote was to demand that Israel submit to a ceasefire in Gaza. It was the council's first vote on such a ceasefire since Hamas's barbaric attack on October 7th of last year. And Biden's administration forced the United States to abstain from the vote, which allowed it to pass on a 14-0 vote. Now, you can see a short clip of this online. There's 15 members, voting members, on the United Nations Security Council. There's only some of those that have veto power. The United States is one that has veto power. And so they took the vote by raise of hand. How many are for demanding the ceasefire? 14 raised their hand. How many are against or will veto? Well, against it. And the ambassador to the United Nations sat there. How many abstained? Then she raised her hand. Well, by abstaining, instead of voting, if they had voted no, it would have vetoed the resolution. But by abstaining, it allowed it to pass. And when it passed, when the man said 14, they all started clapping. Made me sick. Made me sick to see the glee on their faces about demanding these. Listen to this. This is interesting. The last time an anti-Israel vote was taken in the United Nations Security Council, and it was not the last time. The last time it was not vetoed by the U.S., let me put it that way. The last time the vote was not vetoed, the last time it passed on a 14-0 vote, 14-0, with the United States abstaining, the last time that happened was December 23rd, 2016. You know who was president then? Obama. Makes you wonder who's running the country now. Because the man that sits in the Oval Office, he ain't running the country, folks. He can't, anyway. That's the last time it happened. December 23rd, 2016, 2 days before Christmas. By the way, the vote on March 25th was not 24 hours old when the container ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge and it collapsed. Now, all the major players are telling us that there's no possibility of any terrorism, and probably not. But I'm not counting God out of that. And I'm not saying God's a terrorist. Not at all. I'm just saying, hey, listen, folks, listen. United States turned our back on our closest ally, and not just our closest ally, God's favored nation. And we, as God's people, must never forget that. Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 8, you know what it says about Israel? He that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. He that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. Now you could call it, you say you're a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't believe in too many coincidences. And we vote like that as a nation, and less than 24 hours, and that bridge, you know what I paid for gas this afternoon? At Circle K, $4.19. And that was with 10 cents off. $4.19. When did that happen? Somebody wrote on the pump. Joe Biden did this. Somebody wrote it on the pump. I didn't write it, but I agreed with it. I said, yeah, you're right. So, we know about Israel. What do we know about Israel? Okay, look, so why pray for the nation of Israel? This is so simple tonight, and I'm preaching to the choir. I know it, but I just don't want you to get it out of your mind, okay? And I want the young people in this church to get a foundation of what truth is so that in the days ahead, you'll have a foundation to stand on. Now, why pray for the nation of Israel? Number one, Israel's a great nation. Israel's a great nation. The fact that Israel is God's favored nation is undeniable. Now, if my count is correct, you take those two words, great and nation, and you search through your concord, through the Bible, where those words, great and nation, are found together, and seven times the words great and nation are used about the nation of Israel. Isn't that interesting? Seven times. The number, God's number. Okay? Now look at, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 4 here. Look at verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. So vestibule to the promised land, Deuteronomy, going to go in here and get settled, okay? Drop down to verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. Talking about the commandments, judgments, and all that. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath the Lord God, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Verse 8, and what nation is there so great? Folks, I don't call the nation of Israel great. God does. That's three times in three verses. Great nation, great nation, great nation. God recognizes the nation of Israel as a great nation. Now, of course, we remember that God promised to make of Abraham a great nation. That's another place, Genesis 12, where those two words are used in the same verse about the nation of Israel. You remember in that same text, God promised to bless those who bless Israel, curse those who curse Israel. Why? Why? Because Israel's a great nation. Israel's a great nation. Now look, America, in 2022, America had the number one economy. India, the number one in population. India surpassed China. And you got the U.S., China, Russia, Germany, and the United Kingdom, top five in power. So you go and you look for all the top, and you don't find much of the nation of Israel, but that's only in man's estimation. By God's estimation, it has already been established that Israel is the greatest nation. It is a great nation. Now, this does not mean that we are naive about the nation of Israel in the sense that we believe it can do no wrong. The nation of Israel has been guilty many times of turning from Jehovah God to false gods and idolatry. Yes, there is a large contingent of homosexuals and sodomites and lesbians in the nation of Israel. Some of the most liberal people in the United States of America are Jews. Okay? So I'm not naive here about it. But look, folks, we're not talking about all the Jewish people. We're talking about the nation of Israel. And she suffered many times. She suffered punishment at the hand of God because of her sin. And at times, God used other nations to inflict the punishment on Israel. He used other nations to, if you will, to spank Israel. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11, okay? Look at 1 Kings chapter 11. We're going to switch around a little bit tonight, different texts. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, this follows chapter 10. The Queen of Sheba had just visited, and she was just blown away by the greatness of Solomon's kingdom here. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, I mean, Israel's at the highest point of grandeur. But now look at verse number 6, okay? And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Look at verse number 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Look at verse number 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. Who stirred him up? God did. God stirred him up. Look at verse 23, same chapter. And God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. So here twice, you know, twice God raised up adversaries to bring against the nation of Israel because they turned from him. Now, let me ask you a question. Who punishes your children when they need punishment? You do, right? You know who punishes God's people when they need it? God does. And sometimes God used other nations to punish his people. In fact, eventually the nation broke up into two parts. Israel and Judah, you know that, okay? So God takes care of business with his favored nation, with his great nation. But now hold on here. Find the book of Obadiah. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, you might need your index, okay? Find the book of Obadiah. And if I don't find it soon, I'm going to quit turning and look at the index too. Find the book of Obadiah, right before the book of Jonah, okay? After Amos and between Amos and Jonah, all right? Look at verse number 1 in the book of Obadiah, one chapter long, all right? Just one chapter in this book, all right? The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen Arazi, and let us rise up against her in battle. Look at verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. You know what's talking about this, folks? This is talking about Nebuchadnezzar's invasion. Let's talk about Nebuchadnezzar's invasion. The children of Edom watched it happen, and you know what they did? They did what the UN Security Council did. And God said, you know what? When my people need to be taken care of, I'll take care of them. But you lift your hand against them, you're doing wrong. You're in trouble. And that's what he's telling these people. Look at verse number 12. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Hey, Israel, you cease fire there. Those barbarians that came in and put your babies in the oven. Don't you touch them. Yay! Yeah, get Israel. I'm going to tell you, folks. To me, that puts our country on thin ice. I don't know if that's why gas went up, because that bridge collapsed. They'll use any excuse in the world to raise the price of gas. But I'm going to tell you what, it's been a long time since we paid $4.19 for a gallon of gas. Long time. I'm just telling you. You don't mess. God will punish his chosen people for their sin, but other nations better never take it upon themselves to lash out or come against his great nation. Now, without turning to it, you remember at the crucifixion. Pilate, I find no fault in him. Crucify him. Why? What wrong hath he done? I'm not exact quote. His blood be on us and on our children. That's when I read that statement in the Gospels, when I'm going through there, it sends a chill down my spine. Whew. His blood be on us and on our children. Titus came in, 70 A.D., flattened Jerusalem. Flattened it. 1,900 years later, you got the Holocaust. Less than 1900. I don't know, folks. The Holocaust was, but they said, that's the blood of Jesus. That's the blood of God. His blood be on us and on our children. And you know what? God probably took care of his kids for saying that. Took care of that. But that's God. We don't take it upon ourselves as a nation to take care of business with it. We support them. Now, in more modern times, God has fought for his great nation in unbelievable ways. 1948, May 14, Israel declares its statehood. By the way, you know this, most of you kiddos, get it down. The first nation to recognize Israel's statehood is the one you're sitting in. Harry Truman. Yeah. They came out right, and American President Richard Nixon overrode a decision by his either Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, and I think it was 1972, he sent weapons to Israel when all people around him were telling him not to do it. You know what's happening right now? You know that they're not getting the weapons that we promised to send them? That puts us on thin ice, folks. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just telling you something. But there's just a cacophony out there right now that's anti-Israel, and they're everywhere. And by the way, these protesters, never mind. I'm getting it. Where was I? I was back in 1948. I almost got in 2024. All right. Israel declares her statehood. Now look, get in your mind's eye, Israel. Anybody know off the top of the head what comparison is to a state here? New Jersey. All right. The country, the size of New Jersey. Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. Five Arab nations launched an all-out attack, north, east, south, against the great nation. And the great nation won the war. 1967, the war known as the Six-Day War. Syria, Egypt, and Jordan, north, east, south, came against the great nation, 3-1, and in 6 days, the great nation won. You can't explain that, folks. 1973, maybe when Nixon sent those, I think he was gone by then, but that was known as the Yom Kippur War. Syria from the north, Egypt from the south, invaded Israel, and in this war, Israel didn't have as decisive a victory as before, but again, 2-1, and the great nation was not a loser. And after 1973, there was fighting almost all the time between Israel and the neighboring nations, and the rockets had been pouring in to Israel from Gaza nonstop. That didn't start on October 7th. That's happened almost nonstop. And if you want to go and get, what is that app, Brother Bragg? Red Alert? Gary Way, and some of these guys have the Red Alert app on their phone. And in America, you can hear when the Red Alerts are going off over there, the rockets, and it's daily. It's all the time. And Israel, as all since 1973, Israel never took, they lost some of the battles, but they didn't ever take a licking so bad to lose the war. And I'm not suggesting tonight that every Jewish person is innocent. I'm not suggesting that. Look, well, what about this I read about this atrocity committed just the other day trying to clean out the northern Gaza there, they fired a missile and they killed some aid workers by mistake. And guess what? They said, we did it, we made a mistake, and we're sorry. They owned up to it. But in the fog of war, mistakes are made. In the fog of war, it doesn't always go like you plan. That being said, nothing changes the great nation status of Israel. Nothing changes that. And God will punish his own, but everybody else better keep your hands off the nation of Israel. So why pray for the nation of Israel? It's a great nation. It's a great nation. Number two, Jerusalem's a great city. Jerusalem's a great city. Look at Psalm 122. Go back to Psalm. Look at Psalm 122. Psalm 122. This Psalm, Psalm 122, it came from the pen of David. Who better to write about Jerusalem than the one who took the city while he was the king? David was the king. Under his leadership, they went in and they won the battle from the Jebusites and they took the nation, the city of Jerusalem. Okay? Who better to write about it? Look at verse number 1. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now look, not all Israelites then, not all Israelites now, live in Jerusalem. But the tabernacle was there. And this could very well have been a prophetical song about the temple that Solomon would build, okay? Because he says in verse number 1, let us go into the house of the Lord. Look at verse number 4. Whither the tribes go up. You know what that means? The tribes, the people would travel to Jerusalem from their homes, from their villages. They went two or three times a year to Jerusalem. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Verse number 5. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. David's administration was based out of Jerusalem. And then you come to verses 6, 7, and 8. Look at this. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Folks, do you know that peace is part of what the name Jerusalem means? You know what Salem means, right? Salem means peace. You know what the Jewish greeting of peace is, don't you? Shalom. All right? But it also means more than that. It means completeness or wholeness. That's what the Jew. So you take the first part of the word Jerusalem. That's what Salem means. You take the first there, Jeru. It means they will see or they will feel the awe. When you put the two together, they will see and feel the awe of peace, the completeness and the wholeness of peace. And the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that the world will see and feel the awe of the wholeness and completeness of peace in Jerusalem. Now, folks, my thinking is the only time that'll ever happen is when the Prince of Peace comes. Yeah. Don't turn to it for sake of time. Psalm 68, the hill of God, verse 15 and 16, is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? Why do you jump? Why do you jump for joy? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Talking about Jerusalem. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. I looked up just the other day the names for Jerusalem in the Bible. There are dozens of names used for Jerusalem in your Bible. The most familiar to us outside of Jerusalem is Zion. But they're all in here. And why would the hills surrounding the city, why would they leap for joy? Because God desires to dwell in Jerusalem. He desires to dwell there. Jesus Christ, the great I Am, will sit on the throne of His kingdom there. And when the Prince of Peace comes and rules from that city, people will feel the awe, the completeness. They'll see the awe of the completeness and wholeness of peace. Jerusalem's a beautiful city. I've not been there. We just didn't get to go because of COVID. But the psalm that we sang last year during the year of the magnified word, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. It's geographic situation. It's beautiful. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. That's Jerusalem. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Isn't that amazing? The great king and the great city of a great nation. Better never go against Israel, folks. Kiddos, y'all not listening tonight, some of you. Trying to help you keep your mind screwed on straight when this thing goes haywire, which it's starting to do. You got to keep thinking. You got to keep thinking biblical. All right? You can't get sucked into all this noise that's out there. And all this, you know, it's just the favored city of God. And as we move forward into the future, all our eyes should be on Jerusalem. While we watch Jerusalem, we are exhorted to pray for her peace. Now listen, let me say, on what happened on October 7th, those Hamas forces invaded those kibbutzes, those villages, and I mean with barbaric, devil-possessed fury. That's all that was, folks. That was devil possession. They butchered men, women, children. They butchered the elderly, took them hostage. Details of what took place are too graphic for a church setting. Too graphic. And the sad, sick truth is that much of the world right now has turned on Israel instead of remaining steadfast in the support of that country. Those men over there and the leadership of that nation have decided they've got to root Hamas out for good. And you know what I say to that? A great big amen. Sick them. Well, innocent people are going to get hurt. There was no innocent people hurt in World War I. No innocent people hurt in World War II. No innocent people hurt on October 7th. When they woke up at the start of their day just to have another day and another routine. And all of a sudden, here comes these barbarians with their AK-47s and photographers from news organizations here in the United States accompanying them. Oh, wow. How'd they know about that? And it makes me sick to my stomach. And you know what? What do you expect out of Russia? What do you expect out of these nations? But to hear this coming from the president of the Senate, stood on the Senate floor and stuck his nose in this business. I'm telling you, we're on thin ice with this. That's why they use hospitals, they use schools as headquarters that place innocent civilians. And by the way, folks, if you get your news from CBS or NBC or ABC or CNN, then you're sitting there tonight going, what? You can't listen to the mainline media. They're liars. You got to go find your news somewhere else. Because those people hate, they hate what's good about them. It's been documented that Hamas has misused tons of money designated for humanitarian aid. You know what they've done with it? They built these massive underground tunnels. There's still around 130 Jewish hostages, still in captivity. The last word I read, 130, still in captivity. Yet the world's turned on Israel, and they use words now like allegedly and supposed and other terms that are non-definitive about the truth. And there's a rise in anti-Semitism on college. I'm not sure there's a rise. It's just public now. On college campuses, at town hall meetings, and other places where community events take place. Huh? Anti-Semitism. We need to take the admonition to pray for the peace of Jerusalem seriously. Look what he said. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Look what he said in verse number 7. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Do you know that prosperity usually follows peace? Let's see, 2018, 2019, before COVID hit, the last I remember, there was no wars going on, and everybody was doing pretty good in their jobs. Russia was just, you know, China was in their play. You had a man in the White House that had a spine and knew what day it was. Right. Say, you're on a soapbox tonight. No, I'm on a Bible truth tonight. Now, wait a minute. Go back to verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that, what? Oh, shall we, I don't have to be there to enjoy the blessings of prosperity? All I got to do is love them? Pray for them? Look at verse 8. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. You know, at least once or twice a week, maybe more if you make the time, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Prosperity will follow peace, folks. And realize, when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, in verse 8, you are expressing love for your Jewish brothers. And let me tell you something, Gentile church. We're grafted in. Understand, they had something going with God before we did. Now, we're grafted in. They're not grafted into us. We're grafted into them. There's no Jewish blood in my body, as far as I know. There might be some from decades past, generations past. I might be 180th Jew. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. They're our brothers. We have the same spiritual father, Abraham. When you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for you're expressing love for your Jewish brothers. And then look at verse number 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. When you pray for the nation of Israel, you're not only praying for your Jewish brothers, you're showing love for them, you're showing love for your Jewish brothers, and you're showing love to your God. You know why? Because God loves them. And when you love who God loves, so you can't love God and hate the Jewish people. That don't happen. John took care of that in his epistle 2 or 3 times. Say you love God and you love your brother. No, that doesn't happen. You love God and hate your brother. No. That won't happen. And they're our brothers, spiritually speaking. So do good for us. And it would do good for you and me to pray for that right now. Be good for me and you to pray right now that something turns around out there in that city that's supposed to be the shining city on the hill, Washington, D.C. Something better turn around out there. It better turn around quick when it comes to the support of the nation of Israel. That puts us, I don't know what it does, on thin ice. Got something I want to give you tonight. I found this in my closet the other day. What in the world? You ever go to a closet and start finding stuff you didn't know you had? We used these years ago. You boys will help me tonight on the front row down here, okay? You guys, all right? Right here is there's that beautiful, isn't that a beautiful flag, folks? So you're not American. I'm every bit an American. But I'm going to tell you something, that's a beautiful flag right there. That Star of David's beautiful. So here's an Israeli flag. Here's an Israeli flag. Take it home. Just give one out here, fellas. Take it home and put it somewhere. Well, there we go. Put it somewhere in your house. Hey, Malachi, just spread out, fellas. Take some of these, spread out. Put it somewhere in your house and let it be a reminder during the week to pray for the nation of Israel. Now, this may not be something you put in your prayer from your prayer closet every day, but I hope that you'll... Here, Connor, you want to help? Here, take these home. Put it somewhere in your house, okay? Maybe where you read your Bible or someplace like that, and let it be a reminder, since we're talking about this year, this prayer, when you pray, let it be a reminder. Joyce already got one in the office. So. Let it be a reminder to just spend a minute or two praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Wouldn't hurt to pray for the nation of Israel as they battle these barbarians. Okay, everybody get one? Did we have enough to go around tonight? Back here? Back here, this part, this whole section back here, fellas. Hustle back there, boys. I hope you see from the Bible tonight. It's good to pray for the nation of Israel, because that's a great nation and Jerusalem's a great city. And our great King is going to sit on the throne there someday and rule and reign. All good? Everybody got one that wants one? I got some Hamas flags. No, I don't have any. No, I don't have any of those. All right, let's stand together. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll just take what's been said tonight, challenge our hearts with it. I do pray for your people. It's on our prayer list. And Lord, seriously tonight, very, very seriously, heavy heart, I pray that you'll help those people over there. I pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu. I pray that you'll strengthen him. I pray for those men that are leading the IDF. I pray for those soldiers. I pray that you'll build a hedge of protection about them. I pray that you'll continue, Lord, to be with those families whose children were killed, whose relatives are now being held hostage. And Lord, I pray, oh God, for intervention in our government. Somehow, some way, turn the hearts of these people that are, Lord, just not standing up for your people. And Lord, if they're not going to do that, then let their days be few and let another take their office. And Father, we want to be on the right side with you tonight, your people. We thank you for the Bible that came through Jewish tongues and pens. We thank you for our Savior who came from a Jewish womb. We thank you, God, for all that the nation of Israel and the Jewish people mean to us, our spiritual brothers, our spiritual sisters. I pray for these young people in this room tonight. God, I pray that you'll get a hold of their hearts and help them in days ahead to think biblically and stay on the right side of your word. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Just a moment. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. All right. God bless you. Thanks again for coming out tonight. I appreciate it. And shake hands with our guest. And don't forget your kids. See you later. Bye-bye.